الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية الابتداء ولا لأزلية الانقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كل معرفته وردعت عظمته المقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء ولا أرض أرضى. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية أن تكون عذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعضها وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، فلولاه لساحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. In the light of this hadith, we were discussing the 25 practical tips mentioned by Ayatollah Ulama Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahru al-Ulum in his sharh. And the point we were discussing in this sequence was Mujalasatul Ulama, which Sayyid had emphasized that for the process of Tahdhibun Nafs it is important that we focus on spending our time and sitting with the scholars. Seeking knowledge is a fariza and duty in Islam. اطلب العلم من المهد إلى اللحد. We all know these famous hadiths from the Holy Prophet, اطلب العلم ولو كان بالسين. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Seek knowledge although from China. And my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi حفظه الله was saying that there was nothing available in China. It was just for the sake of mithal, an example, that the Prophet had said. If Prophet was present today, he would have said, اطلب العلم ولو كان بهم. That's what my teacher said, quote unquote. So the bottom line is that Islam and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are asking the people to seek the knowledge. That's the bottom line. Wherever you may have to go, from wherever you can learn the knowledge. Knowledge has few very important aspects that need to be cleared up. First of all, it's about the importance of knowledge. Second of all, what to learn and how to learn. Third of all, the interrelations between the knowledge and practice, ilm and amal, which is inseparable. And fourth of all, after learning the knowledge, of course there is the zakat for everything in Islam, and knowledge is no different. Zakat. For everything there is a zakat and tax, and the tax and zakat of knowledge also has to be given away. So we will learn these points very shortly. And first of all, the first surah of Holy Quran that was revealed upon the Holy Prophet, Surah Al-Alaq. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil-qalam 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first revelation is mentioning the topic of ilm. The revelation in Islam starts with the importance of ilm. You know, reciting the name of your Lord who created. And عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. At the end, in that verse it says, he taught insan what he didn't know. So, likewise in Surah Al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an khalaqa al-insana allamahu al-bayan. So Allah, who is Rahman, Allah is the, Rahman taught the Qur'an and created the human and taught him how to speak. The power of talking and speaking in bayan. And again, the scholars of tafsir say that in Surah Al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the subject of knowledge ahead of mentioning the human. The mention of human comes later, because here Allah says Ar-Rahmanu allama al-Quran, and then he says khalaq al-insan. So the mention of knowledge comes ahead of the creation of the human. So this is the second verse. Now let's go to the third verse. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهَا عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the names, all of them, to Adam, and then he presented the names on the angels. So basically, in the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Asma actually stands for all the knowledges. So the knowledge was given to Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and when he got the knowledge, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels were answerless. They cannot inform, because they did not carry that knowledge. And they were forced to reply back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La ilma lana subhanaka, la ilma lana illa ma allamta. Glorified are you, subhanaka, la ilma lana. We don't have no knowledge except what you have taught us. So basically, the superiority of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam is also proven in the light of the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has awarded him. So that's the third verse. And let's go to the next verse from Holy Quran in Surah Al-Mujadala. يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ دَرَجَاتِ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the levels of those who, among you who have iman, and those who have been given the knowledge. several levels, the darajat, and Allah knows, and Allah knows about, you know, what you do, what you perform. So in the light of this verse of Holy Quran, we can understand that Ahlul Ilm have been given the darajat, those people who have the knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nur of ilm in their qalb have been awarded several high levels, and they cannot be compared to those who are deprived of this knowledge. Another verse of Holy Quran says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say that, can you consider those who know and those who don't know as equal? In other words, of course, this verse is informing us that there is no way you can consider الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ, those who know, equal to those who don't know. So knowledge provides the priority and superiority for those who have the knowledge. And the seventh verse which I would like to mention for the importance and ahamiyat of ilm in the light of Quran is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatir has said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that from his servants only the ulama fear Allah. So the khashiyat and fear of Allah is only found in the ulama. Basically, we should remember, the more throughout the life a mu'min is supposed to learn and increase in his knowledge, the more we increase in our knowledge, the more the samara and fruit of knowledge is that you find the khashiyat and fear of Allah increases. If you find that the knowledge you are learning is not increasing in the fear of Allah in your qalb, then you must understand this is just the skeleton, badanaye ilm, the skeleton of knowledge that you are learning terminologies and istilahat, but it is not penetrating in your qalb, because if it was penetrating into your soul, the impact and fruit of the knowledge would have appeared. That is the fear of Allah, and fear of Allah of course causes a person to become pious and to apply the knowledge on his spirituality and become muttaqi, because knowledge and actions, amal and ilm, can never be separated from each other. So these were just a few ayat to give you a little introduction about how the Holy Quran is emphasizing the knowledge. There is much more in Quran, but I would like to go now towards what the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have said in their hadith about the knowledge. Imam Ali alayhi salam, that's in Nahjul Balagha, has said that لَيْسَ الْخَيْرُ أَنْ يَكْثُرَ مَالُكَ وَوَلَدُكَ. It is not khair. Khair is not that you have more money or more children. لَيْسَ الْخَيْرُ أَنْ يَكْثُرَ مَالُكَ وَوَلَدُكَ. Instead, what Imam Ali alayhi salam says, that the khair is أَنْ يَكْثُرَ إِلْمُكَ. That means your knowledge is more. So this is the khair. Khair is that the more you increase in your knowledge, the more you have the khair from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very good discussion, inshallah. Sometime we can talk about khair, the concept of khair in Islam. What are those things, what are the list of those things which are considered to be khair, and what are the list of those things which are considered to be shar in Islam? It's a very beautiful discussion. Also, in another hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, إذا كان يوم القيامة وزن مداد العلماء بدماء الشهداء. Imam Ali narrates from the Prophet that he had said that when on the Day of Judgment the ink of the scholars will be weighed with the bloods of the martyrs. And then the Prophet said, فَيُرَجَّحُ مِدَادُ الْعُلَمَاءِ عَلَى دِمَاءِ الشُّهَدَاءِ, and the ink of the scholars will be given preference on the blood of the shuhada. So, which is perfectly true, because you find, because of the ink of the scholars, you find so many of shuhada have learned about their fariza towards Allah and fulfilled their fariza towards Allah because of the ink of the scholars. If the scholars did not write about the fariza, there was no way for the people to learn what they were supposed to do and become sa'adatmand and sa'id and successful. Also, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْعَالِمَ وَالْعَابِدِ. On the day of judgment, Allah will resurrect the scholar, the alim, and al-abid, the person who performs the ibadah. A good doing person who did ibadah of Allah. So they will stand, in other words, it's a long hadith, they will stand in front of Allah. قِيلَ لِلْعَابِدِ انْطَلِقْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. It will be said to abid, go to the paradise. The person who did the ibadah, he did good deeds, he did nice deeds, of course he deserves to go to the paradise. It will be said to him to go. And then Imam says, وَقِيلَ, and then it will be said to the alim, قِفْ تَشْفَعْ لِلنَّاسِ بِحُسْنِ تَعْدِيدِكَ لَهُمْ. And it will be said to the alim, stay here and do shafa'at for the people for what, for the good training and ta'deeb and adab that you taught them. So the alim will actually go to the paradise after taking the people alongside with him to the paradise, because the alim has the haqqush shafa'at. Also, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said that alimun yuntafa'u bi'ilmihi أفضل من عبادة سبعين ألف عابد, that a scholar from whose knowledge is benefited, that means people can benefit from his knowledge, is superior than 70,000 than the ibadat of 70,000 abid, 70,000 people who are doing ibadat and worship of Allah, but they are not alim. Yeah, or they're regular abid people. So, in some of the riwayat, we find nawmun ma'a ilm. It's also mentioned, and even sleep of a scholar is considered to be superior. Sleep of a scholar is better than the worship of a non-scholar. Yeah. What is important, brothers and sisters, as we are discussing the fadilat of ilm and responsibility towards ilm, is that the bottom line is that the knowledge provides us the noor to determine our fariza and to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the noor of ma'rifat. This is what knowledge provides. So when you have the noor of ma'rifat, then you can do your fara'id and your duties in a higher and a better way. The less noor of ma'rifat you have, you will do your duties in a way with less ma'rifat. And ma'rifat determines the value of your amal. One of those people, you know, he started to do some riyadat and ibadat and amal in secluded rooms away from his family members. And he says, once I went to visit to Sheikh Rajab Ali Fayyad, you know, that great mu'min. And when I went to see him, when he had a look at me, he said, you want me to say something to you? And I said, you know, I just... put my head down. And he said to me that, stop doing this, what you are doing. You went into another room in your house and you have abandoned your family members, and just for several months you are doing this amal and riyadat and ibadah. What are you trying to do? Just live a normal life. In other words, just do your fara'id. Just pray your prayers on the fadilat time and do the regular taqibah. That's it. Even if you choose a few du'as to read every day, but you do your prayers on time and you fulfill your fara'id, that's enough. The problem arises when the fara'id are not fulfilled, and sometimes some people start giving importance to the lesser important or mustahab things more than the fariza and duty, because they don't understand what the duty is. So, the Holy Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, that Ya Ali, la faqra ashaddu min al jahl. There is no faqr and poverty more severe than jahl, ignorance. Wala ibadata mithl tafakkur. And there is no ibadat similar to thinking, tafakkur. Tafakkur, actually, if we pay importance to this, through tafakkur we realize, you know, fikr and zikr makes us rethink about how we are doing, what we are doing, whether we are doing it right or not, what are we supposed to do, how we can improve ourselves, what are my mistakes, how can I overcome my mistakes. It's all through tafakkur. But if I don't do the tafakkur, if I don't think I continue doing what I'm doing without tafakkur, there's no way I can wake up. Also, the Prophet has said, faqihun wahid ashaddu ala shaitan min alf aabid. One faqih person is more severe on shaitan than 1,000 abid persons who are doing ibadah. Abid means person who is doing ibadah. So regular person who is doing ibadah, but he doesn't have tafaqquh fi deen, that means in-depth understanding of the religion. This type of 1,000 people is not a big deal for shaitan. But if there's one person who is faqih, has understanding of the religion, then he is more severe on the enemy of Allah, who is shaitan. Also, Imam Al-Sajjad alayhi salam has said that لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ مَا فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ لَتَلَبُوهُ وَلَوْ بِصَفْكِ الْمُهَجِ وَغَوْسِ الْلُجَجِ. If the people knew what is there for them, what is there in learning knowledge, they would have done it, although they had to go into the depths of the oceans, and although they may end up killing each other for the sake of achieving knowledge, they would still have done it if they knew what is there in knowledge. So, for some of the scholars like Sayyid Bahrul Uloom, it is narrated, this story has been narrated for more than one scholar, but what I know is about Sayyid Bahrul Uloom, so I'm mentioning his name, that sometimes in the middle of the night he used to go on top of the roof of his house and he used to say, Ayn al-Muluk wa Abna'u al-Muluk. Where are the kings and the children of the kings? That means whatever pleasures those people are, they think they are gaining out of their life of this dunya, where are they? I mean, the pleasures that we are gaining from the knowledge and the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no comparison with the pleasures that the kings and their children claim that they are gaining. And also, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, and I will end this fadilat segment here on this hadith. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, "Majlusul ilm rawdatul jannah." a gathering in which the knowledge, a gathering of knowledge, is a garden of paradise. So if you are present in any gathering in your life where the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is either learned or taught, that is a garden of paradise. We have been stopped in Islam from talking about anything without knowledge. Imam Ali alayhi salam in his nasihat had said that la tuhaddith ma la ta'lam, don't speak about what you don't know. And then he said bal la tuhaddith bi kulli ma ta'lam, and instead don't speak about all what you know. That means you have to speak about some of what you know, not all of what you know. All of what you know is not supposed to be said to everybody. Isn't that right? You cannot talk about everything to everybody. Everything cannot be taught to everyone. You have to pick and choose according to your audience and muqatab. So don't, this is a sign of jahil person. Exactly. This is a sign of a jahil person, that as soon as he learns something, he is ready to find someone to tell him, to tell, this is what I learned. And some of the people actually come to ulama and say, and they tell their whole story, you know, as if they are trying to teach the ulama. You know, I read this book and this was saying this and this. But it seems that this is the first time you read that thing, so you are trying to now teach the scholars. So they have already learned the story that you are telling them. Why are you wasting their time? So as soon as they learn something, they want to tell it to somebody. This is the sign of a jahil. Whereas the sign of an alim is that, you know, it's just like the example that the scholars gave is the example of the, you know, of water. If the lake is deep, you won't find more waves on the water. It's the water is calm. Isn't that right? If it's not deep, you'll find more, because it's shallow, you'll find more waves. So if it is deeper, there will be lesser waves on the surface. So when you get deeper in knowledge, you won't make more noise, you won't express and pose yourself to be a big scholar. But if there is a shallow inside, you don't have the knowledge inside your soul, you will try to express yourself. Every one word, one sentence, one story you learn from an Islamic book, you will try to tell it to 10 people to tell them, well, I also know this thing. This is the sign of a shallow soul. For some of the students, our imams, it's there in our history. The Masoom has said for some of the students to go to the well. Go to a well and take out whatever you want to say. I mean, we cannot say everything to everybody. There are people who are non-mahram sitting around you. Isn't that right? So you cannot tell it. That's not in the hadith. I'm explaining it to you. So go into the well and say whatever you want to say inside by turning your face towards the well. You take it out, but at least don't inform to the people. Don't inform things to the people unnecessarily. So al-man bila min al-kalam bila ilm is a very important aspect of knowledge, as we are discussing the knowledge and mujalasatul ulama and sitting around with ulama and the importance of knowledge in Islam. Islam has emphasized on not to speak on any subject without knowledge. Even if you know the subject, but you don't know one aspect of the subject or one mas'ala in a chapter of fiqh, you know the whole chapter, but you don't know one mas'ala, one issue. It's never a wrong thing to say, I don't know. This is a sign of your ilm. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, La adri nisful ilm. Isn't that right? That means saying, I don't know, is half of the knowledge. Again, this is the sign of an alim, that he would say, I don't know. But the sign of a jahil, despite the fact he doesn't know, he will still try to say something to you. Left or right. Say something to prove that, oh, I can also address the issue.
When you don't know, just say, I don't know. But because he's a jahil, he has to express that I don't know. I know it. So he would say something. But the scholars, I remember one of the teachers was telling us the story in the lecture that one of a very great orafa, he came into his lecture, to his class where he was teaching his lecture, and a student asked a question that he didn't know. Even a mujtahid, even a marja, where it's possible, he doesn't know the answer to a question. He has to study and find out and then tell. It's possible. We don't know. I mean, the scholars, nobody's perfect. Isn't that right? It's just the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam who have the perfect knowledge. All of the rest of the human beings are always in the process of learning. So one of the students asked a question from the gathering, from the crowd, and he didn't know the answer. Sometimes it's very embarrassing in front of the awamun nas, especially when there are a lot of people sitting and they respect you a lot and you are a teacher and they are learning Darsul Kharij from you. Isn't that right? Sometimes it's embarrassing. But it's embarrassing for those people who don't have tazkiyatun nafs. But for those who have the tazkiyatun nafs, it's not embarrassment. It is their sharaf and izzat and their kamal to do the i'tiraf and to confess that we don't know. It's embarrassing for a jahil person to express in the i'tiraf of jahil, he feels embarrassed. This is also a sign of a jahil, that when he doesn't know, then he feels embarrassed to say, I don't know. This is a sign of a jahil. So this teacher was telling us in his lecture that he, instead of saying in a normal voice, he shouted in a high, loud voice, I don't know. So that everybody hears that I don't know. There's nothing to feel embarrassed about that. If you don't know something, you don't know. Whereas you find the sign of a jahil jumping into a matter without having knowledge, expressing some opinion, right or wrong, knowingly or unknowingly, something has to be said. That's the alamat of a jahil. And in our everyday affairs of life, which are like mubahat, it's also bad in every matter, but still it is to some extent tolerable. But when it comes to the shari'iyat, to the things which are related to the wajib and haram or mustahab and makruh things, it really becomes problematic if a jahil person comes and expresses his opinion without having knowledge and ilm. In ilm in Arabic means knowing something 100%. So if you're 100% sure about something, in Arabic we call it ilm or faqh or jazm or yaqeen. All those four words are mutaradifat, used synonymously. So ilm means 100% knowledge. And how Allama Hilli defines alim in his book, Allama al-Hilli rahmatullah alayh, defines an alim person is al-alim al-mutabayyin lahul ashya. Alim is a person for whom the things are clear, obvious. So there's zero ambiguity. Again, 100% knowledge about something. That's called ilm. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Man afta an-nasa, man afta an-nasa bighayri ilmin, la'anathu malaikatu as-samawati wal-ard." Whoever gives fatwa to the people without knowledge, all the angels of heaven and earth send their la'nat on him. Malaikatu samawati wal ardh. Malaika in Arabic grammar, because it's a plural, and whenever the plural becomes mudaf towards a mudaf ilayh, Arabic grammar says it means istidrak, means all the angels. Grammatically, that's the meaning of the hadith. That all the angels, grammatically, that's what it means. that all the angels of heaven and all the angels of earth send la'nat on this person who expresses his fatwa. Fatwa means a religious opinion. If you say Islam says this, this is your fatwa. What else a fatwa is? You say, if somebody asks you what is the opinion of Islam in this matter, you say, well, Islam says this. And so you are giving a fatwa in the name of Allah, in the name of Islam, in the name of Quran. This is a fatwa. You don't need to say I am issuing a fatwa. You know, nobody needs to say that. Mujtahid also doesn't need to say that. Just expression of an opinion about any matter of Islam in the name of Islam is called fatwa. So fatwa has to be given with knowledge. And also Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, look at what Ahlul Bayt are saying and their take on this matter, their teachings on this matter. Look at that, where he says, wahrib min al futya harbaka min al asad. Run away from giving fatwa the way you run away from a lion. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, let's suppose you are in a jungle alone without any arms to defend yourself and a lion comes and attacks you. How would you run away from a lion to save your life? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is saying, run away from giving fatwa the way you run away from a lion. But don't express your opinion in the name of Islam. But this is something which is widely found in Islamic communities, especially in the religious people. This spiritual illness of expressing opinions in the name of Islam is a spiritual sickness widely found in the religious people in Islamic community. The non-religious people they don't know Islam. They won't give opinions in the name of Islam. They are non-religious and secular. Isn't that right? It's the religious people who will give opinions in the name of Islam. La yastahi al-alim idha su'ila amma la ya'lam an yaqul la a'lam. An alim will never feel ashamed if he's asked about something and that he doesn't know. He would never feel ashamed in saying, I don't know. Inna min haqiqatil iman an tu'assir al-haqqa wa in dharraka ala al-batile wa in nafa'aka. It is from the haqiqat and reality of iman that you give preference to haqq, although it may be in your harm, it may be harmful for you, but you still say haqq. So you give preference to haqq over batil and falsehood. Wa in nafa'aka, although the batil and falsehood may be in your benefit. Wa an la yajuz mantiquka ilmaka, and that your talk does not exceed your knowledge. That means you talk within the limits of your knowledge. Don't exceed, don't transgress the boundaries of your knowledge. Sadaq al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, certainly said the truth. And also in another hadith, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has said that لَوْ أَنَّ الْعِبَادَ جَهِلُوا وَقَفُوا وَلَمْ يَجْحَدُوا لَمْ يَكْفُرُوا. If the people, when they were jahil, they didn't know about something, they just stayed put where you are. Don't move forward, don't say something, don't do anything, because you don't know. You just stay where you are and don't deny. Some people, when they don't know something, they start denying it. As soon as you tell them a bit of knowledge, since they haven't learned, they haven't heard about it, they say, I never knew, I never learned about that, nobody told me about it. Then some people start denying it, challenging it. This is another sign of a jahil person. And Imam Ali has said in Nahjul Balagha that annaso a'da'u ma jahil. People are enemies of what they don't know. Such a great statement. People are enemies of what they don't know. When people don't know something, they always tend to deny it and challenge it and to basically denounce it, because they don't know it. They express themselves to be opposing anything that they don't know. So if the people were ignorant, they just stayed where they are, they do tawakkuf and don't deny, they would not have ended up, they won't end up in kufr. Sometimes we do end up in kufr and denying and saying things which are basically wrong. Remember the story of Aban bin Taghlib? Aban bin Taghlib is a very great and respectable companion and muwassaq and siqah, narrator and ravi from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Narrated thousands of ahadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He is a Kufi. He resides in Kufa. He came all the way from Kufa to Medina for the ziyarat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the Imam of his time. And he said to Imam that we were in the masjid in Kufa and there was somebody telling the masail, talking about the masail, fiqhi issues. And this guy in the masjid, he said, if somebody cuts one finger of a woman, the diyat and penalty in Islam for cutting one finger of a woman is exactly equal to the diyat and penalty of cutting one finger of a man. Then he said, if somebody cuts two fingers of a woman, the diyat and penalty is exactly equal to cutting two fingers of a man. But if somebody cuts three fingers, the diyat is half of the diyat of a man. Somebody was saying that in the masjid in Kufa, and as soon as I heard it, I said, إِنَّ الَّذِي جَاءَ بِهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It's the shaitan who has brought this ruling. So Aban bin Taghlib condemned this mas'ala, isn't that right? So, and he expresses, he came all the way from Kufa and he's telling the whole story to Imam. And Imam alayhi salam said, Mahlan, stop it. Don't say a word forward, don't move forward. And he said, Inna hadha hukm Rasulullah. This is certainly the hukm of Rasulullah. And then he explains the whole thing, which is mentioned by Shaykh Ansari in, Kitab al-Rasail, which is basically part of our syllabus in the Hausa since about two centuries. So basically, then Imam explains the whole thing. So we have, of course, wisdoms and the whole explanation and all those things that need to be understood and all the conditions and shara'it of every ruling. But what I was trying to tell you is that it is frequently seen that people tend to deny anything new that they learn because they haven't heard about it. The first reaction from some people, they deny it. This is also another sign. It is not a sign of an alim person. An alim, the first reaction of his would not be denial. Muhaqqiq Sabzwari is one of our very great philosophers, and his book is also part of our syllabus in the Hausa educational system. Mullah Hadi Sabzwari. His name is Mullah Hadi Sabzwari. And in his book, he has mentioned this famous shi'r, كلما قرع سمعك من الغرائب فزره في بقعة الإمكان ما لم يزد عنه قائم البرهان. Whatever strange thing you happen to hear, you put it in the bucket of possible things. Don't deny it. So that's a philosopher. He's got to say that. He's a scholar. So the approach and mawqif of a scholar is always different. But a jahil person, you will find the first thing he would do towards a new thing, he will start denying it. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has said, if the people, when they were jahil, they did tawakkuf, stayed put, don't move forward, don't say something, don't do something, know nothing, just stay where you are. Don't express anything, don't deny, don't challenge, nothing, just stay the way you are. وَلَمْ يَجْهَدُوا and did not deny, لَمْ يَكْفُرُوا, they won't end up in kufr. What happens sometimes, in the light of the hadith, we understand that some people do end up in kufr by denying the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and Islam because of their jahl. So this is about al-man min al-kalam bila ilm, that we have been stopped from talking without knowledge. And those who know should be allowed to speak. As much as you know, you are allowed to speak as much as you know. not a word more than what you know. If you don't know, just say it and stop there and ask from somebody who knows more than you. So if you have learned up till this 30, 40, 50, 70 years of your life, you have learned, let's suppose, 50,000 masail of Islam, you are an alim. All of you are also an alim in the literal meaning of the word, because you are a knowledgeable person. You have learned 50,000 masail of Islam, isn't that right? Somebody has learned 1,000 masail of Islam. Somebody has learned 50 masail of Islam. Somebody has learned 100,000 masail of Islam. Somebody has learned 1 million masail of Islam. You know, people are all knowledgeable, but the level and darajat of knowledge and depends and varies from person to person. And so basically, what Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam had said, that لَوْ سَكَتَ الْجَاهِلْ مَخْتَلَفَ النَّاسِ, if the jahil remained quiet, there will be no dispute among the people. So this is about the fact that we are not supposed to speak without knowledge. The next thing is zakat. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, hadith says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ zakat, for everything there is a tax. وَزَكَاتُ الْعِلْمِ أَن تُعَلِّمَهُ أَحْلَ, and the zakat of knowledge is that you teach it to those who deserve it. Find the deserving person and teach him. This is the zakat of ilm. You know, zakatul jamal al-ta'affuf or al-iffa. Somebody who is beautiful, the zakat of his jamal and beauty is that he or she exercises iffat and chastity in the character. For everything there is a zakat. Everything, you name it. There is a zakat for everything in Islam. And the zakat of knowledge is that you are supposed to teach it to those who deserve it, not to those who don't deserve it. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in his hadith, and this is mentioned in Munyatul Murid by Shaykh Shaheed Thani. Shaheed Thani is one of the very great maraji from Lebanon. He narrated this hadith from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, that لَا تُعَلِّقُ الْجَوَاهِرِ فِي أَعْنَاقِ الْخَنَازِيرِ, don't hang the pearls in the necks of the pigs. And Shaheed al-Thani rahmatullahi alayh, sahib Sharh al-Lum'ah, he is the one who wrote the famous book Sharh al-Lum'ah in two volumes, which is taught in the Hausa in every single Shia madrasa on the planet. You find this book is part of their syllabus since maybe 500 years, 400 years. So, and Sharh al-Duma is one of the greatest masterpieces of fiqh in our glorious history. So that's also written by Shaheed Thani. So Shaheed Thani, in his book Bunyatul Murid, after mentioning this hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he says, don't hang the pearls in the necks of the pigs, he is doing the tafsir of the hadith, and he says what Imam Ali means is that don't teach the knowledge to those who don't deserve that knowledge. So we are not supposed to teach anything to a person who is not ahl for that bit of information. Allah does the same thing. Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said in Usulul Kafi, you open up the chapter of ilm, Kitabul Ilm. Usulul Kafi has a whole chapter on knowledge. You open up the chapter, you find the first hadith there from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in Kitab al-Ilm. It says, Al-ilmu nurun yaqdifuhu Allahu fi qalbi man yasha. First, or probably one of the beginning ones. I think it's the first one, but probably I'm not 100% sure. But maybe one of the beginning ones. Al-ilmu nurun. Ilm is a nur that Allah drops in the heart of those He wishes. So Allah also picks and chooses. He doesn't provide every knowledge to everybody at all time, at all places. No way. You need to be deserving to get. And you need to do your efforts also, because you won't get anything without your part of the efforts. And didn't Imam Ali alayhi salam say, La yudrakul ilmu birahatil jism. Ilm cannot be achieved without with the rahat and comfort of the body. La yudrakul ilm birahatil jism. So if you want you yourself to remain in rahat and aram and comfort, and you also want to learn knowledge, it's not going to happen. You have to do your side of the efforts as well. Work hard, you know. Even though you may have to end up going to China to learn something, go for it. It's worth it. Even for Hazrat Maryam salamullah alayha, see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said at the time of the birth of Hazrat Isa, didn't Allah say, "Wa huzzi ilayki bi jiz'in nakhla tusaqqit alayki rutban janiyya"? So our scholars say that Allah is not ready to provide the dates, the fresh dates for Hazrat Maryam, the food, the fresh dates at the time of birth. She needs food to become strong. But Allah is not ready to provide the dates without Hazrat Maryam doing her part of the sa'i and effort. So Allah is asking her, "Fuzzi ilayki," you move the branch of the tree and then it will drop you the fresh dates upon you. She has to do her side, her part of the effort, and then she would get the result. So we cannot expect that, you know, everything can happen without our side of the effort. So we need to give the zakat. When you know, learn something, you have to teach it. The first thing is, of course, we learn it for the sake of teaching our own selves. Teaching ourselves means practicing. That's the main purpose, that we ourselves practice at the first place. We don't learn anything for the sake of anyone else or any other benefit. You know, we learn everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the uplift of Kalimatullah, and for the sake of uplift of Islam, Ihya'ud-Deen, so that Islam survives. We are learning so that we practice and we can play our role in uplifting Islam. So anybody who من تعلم العلم للتكبر مات جاهلا. Prophet has said in his hadith, whoever learns the knowledge for the sake of takabbur, I learned something so that then I can express myself that I am a big person in front of the people. If this is my niyyat, I learn a bit of information so I can express that I am a big man in front of the people, this person will die as a jahil from this world. Prophet said, "Man ta'allama al-'ilma lit-takabbur mata jahilan. Wa man ta'allama al-qawla dun al-'amal." Whoever learns the knowledge without amal, that's talking about knowledge but doesn't practice, this guy will die as a munafiq. At the time of death, he won't be mu'min, he will be munafiq. Wa man ta'allama al-'ilma lil-munadhara mata fasiq. If somebody learns knowledge for debating, I do arguments, debate with the people, unnecessary, undue arguments, just for the sake of arguments, wasting my time, wasting others' time. This type of person, if somebody learns knowledge for the sake of arguments, will die away as a fasid person. وَمَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ لِكَسَرَةِ الْمَالِ مَاتَ زِنْدِيقًا. For some parents, when I travel to Europe, you know, for some parents, when you talk, are you ready to send your children to become an alim? The question that they ask is, what would be the career of my child? I mean, how much money he can make? To put it in very short words, the first question that I encountered from some parents is that, how much money the child can make? And I always say that if your child is focusing on how much money he can make out of the knowledge, then he should better not go there to learn the knowledge. That category of people should not go there to learn the knowledge. We wishfully don't want those, Islam wishfully doesn't want those people to go and learn the knowledge. The Holy Prophet has said, "Man ta'allama al-ilma li kasratil mal." whoever learns the knowledge for the abundance of money, mata zindiqan, at the time of death, he would deny Allah. Zindiq is dahriya, somebody who doesn't know who Allah is. So if anybody learns knowledge for, with the niyat that I can make more money out of it, at the time of mouth, he will be zindiq, not a mu'min, not a Muslim. وَمَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ لِلْعَمَلْ مَاتَ مُؤْمِنًا. And then the Prophet said, whoever learns the knowledge so that he can practice, this guy will die away as a mu'min. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us, inshallah. We will continue the remaining discussion in the next class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and the invite of Salaam.